The following program is a presentation of CRN Digital Talk Radio and Les Kincaid. And now it's time for Wines du Jour with your host, Chef Les Kincaid.
Thank you for joining us on Wines du Jour, broadcasting this time from Curry Leaf, the flavors of India in Las Vegas, Nevada. My guest tonight is Rachel Patel. He is the owner here at Curry Leaf, and we're going to talk with him. You're going to love the story he has to tell us. I want to look forward to our celebration for good food and wine pairings, and that's what it's all about. Being America's number one syndicated radio food and wine program, we bring you great information about good wines and great food in each episode. Thank you for your inquiring emails from your home country, from all around the world, from the left coast, from the east coast, from France, from Baja California, and from Italy. Just about everywhere, welcome. Our in-house special guest audience this evening is both hungry and thirsty, and we can't wait to get started. In fact, they're bringing the wine out as I'm speaking, and that is a good thing. It smiles from everybody in the audience. Our program broadcasts, remember, that each broadcast we reflect on what we are all about, and that is wine is food. A meal is a meal, but with a glass of wine, it's a celebration. From casual gatherings to formal affairs, wine celebrates any event. Remembering on this show that we discover lots of information about taste and flavor as we enjoy good food and we pair it with excellent wines, because wine is bottled poetry. I'd like you to remember that. If this is your first time listening to Wines Is Yours, stay tuned. You need to know that we do not allow snobbery or intimidation in the room during the broadcast. Wines Is Your Food and Wine radio broadcast is distributed in all 50 states, all around the world via radio on CRN Digital Talk Radio Network, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher Radio, AHA Radio, and on several worldwide internet systems all around the globe. And we're also available on podcast, and we're free on iTunes. So listen to us also on Wonder Radio and Warp Radio. If you're listening to Wines du Jour, I'm your host, Les Kincaid. So don't touch that radio dial. We'll be back with fun information and great taste right here on Wines du Jour. But first, I'd like to talk to you a little bit about Indian cuisine. You know, we know about Italian, and we know about Spanish, and we know about French, and we know about German. And, of course, we know about all the different regions in America, but most people really don't know an awful lot about Indian cuisine. And, frankly, most of the restaurants that serve Indian cuisine are mediocre on a best day. One of the things that people have an immediate way of thinking about Indian food is curry. They think everything has curry on it. Not true, folks. And I want you to know that a whole lot of things about Indian cuisine is very, very tasty, including the fact that if you were to try and make a particular dish a national dish, it would probably be a vegetarian dish. Not because it's vegetarian, but because meat is not a major item in India like it is here in America. That doesn't make it bad, and that certainly doesn't mean they don't have meat and fish on their menu. They certainly do. But a lot of their things are, it's a combination of herbs and spices that make their food very friendly. In fact, the owner, Ritesh Patel, he should be out here any time now. You're going to find out a little bit about Indian cuisine firsthand, because he owns the restaurant here, and it's not an easy thing in America to find Indian chefs. So if you're an Indian chef and you're good at it, you can find a job almost any day of the week if you can find an Indian restaurant, because most of them need the help, if you know what I'm saying. So knowing what type of food, let me mention one other thing about that. Let's just take a piece of meat. Let's take a piece of beef. You can make probably 50 different Indian dishes with that one piece of meat using different combinations of herbs and spices. It's amazing, and it is amazing when you taste it, because it's very, very, very good. So we got to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about Indian cuisine, and maybe we can get Ritesh Patel out here so he can tell us a story. You're going to love the story he's going to tell you of how he got in the restaurant business. It's beautiful. We'll be back right after these messages. back to Wines du Jour. We're having a good time here at Curry Leaf. That's the flavors of India. And guess what? I was able to get the owner to come out and sit down for a few minutes. And I first of all want to introduce you to him. Ritesh Patel is his name. And thank you very much for your hospitality and allowing us to come in and sit on this beautiful patio here in the Fort Apache Tropicana area called the Tropicana Beltway. That's what this area is called. I didn't know it until about an hour ago. So we know where it is, but we don't know what it's called. You know how that works. So what I want to do is, if you would, Ritesh, tell us a little bit about how you got in the food business.
Yeah, hello, everyone. My name is Ritesh Patel. As Jesse introduced myself. By profession, I'm not a chef or never been in the restaurant business, but happens to be my brother-in-law. He opened a restaurant and he needed help. He didn't have a chef, so I was doing my master's in UNLV. I'm a structural engineer, but so I take a drop and help him in the restaurant. So I learned in everything in 1 month. I never worked in the commercial
kitchen. In 1 month?
One whole menu.
Okay.
I don't know where I did it, how I did it. Oh, man. That's like 12 hours straight. That's how you work in the kitchen.
Yep.
But then you get ready for the evening dinner or lunch tomorrow. And it worked out. And I did pretty good. And everybody likes it. And customer keep coming back. They never knew that the chef has gone or I'm cooking.
I was just going to say, to interrupt you for a second, it seems to me that you discovered that you had a passion for food that you didn't know about up until the time you got stuck in the kitchen.
Yeah, in other words, I'll put it like, because I had to do it to keep the business going.
Sure.
So I developed that passion. And why not do it the best way? You know, just if you're doing it, so just do it. That's what my grandfather used to tell. You know, doesn't matter what you do, just make sure you do it the best way possible.
That sounds like good advice for me.
No, and I believe that, and yeah. I always remember that, and it helps, and it worked out. So until I did that one, and then was doing good, and I keep doing it, and I found this location, and I finished my master's, went back to the... Still went back to the restaurant business, cooking and helping, and then I found this location. I opened, and I'm glad and happy to tell you that we're doing really good in 9 months since we opened. So I'm very happy, and we're doing one more downtown on the Fremont Street. It's coming up in...
Very good.
Well, it's a big one.
Yeah. Actually, they opened June 2015 here.
Yeah, last year.
And I have to tell you, you can come in here anytime, whether it's early lunch, middle of lunch, late lunch, early dinner, middle of the dinner, late at night, and they're busy. That shows that the word is spread. And I just have to tell you that Indian cuisine is pretty interesting stuff. I've got a couple things I wanted to mention about Indian food. Most people think, as I said earlier, mostly curry, or at least spicy food. And it's not necessarily hot or pungent. Chilies and peppers and so on. And no, most Indian cuisine eat moderately spicy food, but it's the uniqueness of the combination of spices that gives it its own texture and taste. And that's it, you can spot it anywhere. You can take a bite of Indian cuisine in the middle of a Mexican restaurant, and you'd know that you had Indian and not Mexican. I mean, that's how specific that it is. And one of the things that they use a lot in Indian cuisine is mustard oil, something that we're not overly familiar with here in America. But mustard oil is a very good basis, huh?
It is, yeah, it is. It's like we have here extra virgin olive oil in some region, Eastern Coast, Northern India regions. They grow a lot of these mustard greens.
Right.
So they have the farms and all. So they use every thing from the plant. So with the seeds, they come out with this mustard oil. And it's really healthy for your digestive system. But you have to use it the right way.
Well, in addition to the mustard oil that I mentioned, I'm going to mention a few spices. Some of them you probably have in your cupboards and haven't used them for years. And others you might be using all the time. Cardamom. I know most people have heard of cardamom. They can't tell me what it tastes like or what it's used in, most likely, but that's one of the spices that are used quite often. And, of course, black pepper, we're all familiar with that, and it's used quite often in Indian cuisine. Cinnamon is another one that's used. And a lot of dishes that, like beef, we don't think about adding cinnamon to a beef dish. But when you're putting these extra spices that I was telling you about together in Indian cuisine, you find that they're going to put a little bit of cinnamon or maybe a little bit of coconut or mustard seed in addition to the mustard oil. And, of course, curry, where the name curry leaf for a restaurant. Not a bad idea. That's a good thing. So they also like to use steamed rice cakes is a typical thing. We think of potatoes almost always, but rice cakes is a good thing. Or what they call, I think it's pronounced dosas. A savory pancake. That's a very typical item to have with your meals. So have you found a lot of people ask you about is this hot or is this or that as far as items on the menu? Do you have to explain that? I know your food servers know the menu upside down, and they can answer any question, but do you get a lot of people ask questions about
it? Yes, they do. There is a perception about Indian food that we use a lot of spices.
Sorry, car just went by.
so the perception about Indian food is we use a lot of spices, but we use a lot of whole spices, so that for the flavors, it doesn't make spicy hot, you know. So those are the flavors. So we do hear from no spicy at all to mouth burning spicy, you know. So we accommodate, but the flavors are there. So we use those spices to bring out the flavors.
Do you find it difficult to find the spices you're looking for here in America, or do you have to have them shipped from India to you, or how does that work for you?
No, it's easy to find everything. Okay. You can find. There are a lot of few Indian grocery stores. You can buy everything. I mean, pretty much everything you get in back in there is available here. So
well, one of the things that the Indians like also is lentils. Now, we're familiar with the term, and some people make a soup and other things with lentils, but they eat a lot of lentils. And also a product they call dal, which is their comfort food, huh? I guess that's the way to put it.
Yeah, very simple, humble, easy to digest, any time of a day, very light meal, full with protein, so it's lentils again. So,
what are a couple of the items you have on your menu here that you happen to particularly like? So if somebody's going to come here for the first time, maybe they want to choose something that you like as a recommendation, what would you suggest? Two or three different things?
If I tell you, that's my menu, so it's, for me, it's a very difficult question which one you pick, because I picked and I make a small menu. But anything you pick, because that's the thing. I have limited menu, small menu, and what I think tastes
people
the
should
best,
know about.
Yes,
yeah.
And it tastes the best, what I like the most, that goes on the menu.
Well, you know, quite often I talk about Italy. I happen to love Italian cuisine, number one. Number two, I think it's, it is the most popular cuisine in the whole world is Italian. And I also mention, and I'm profound when I do, that the fact that there is no such thing, in my personal opinion, as Italian food. There is Italian regional cuisine. And what I mean by that is every area in Italy has their own types of grapes. We talked about the over 200 plus varietals of grapes that they grow in Italy, and also has the types of vegetables that they grow, and the terroir, if you will, that's the French term for we use for wine, but the terroir for the vegetables makes them taste a little bit different in this region than in a different region in Italy. So you can have, and I use this as an example, you can have lasagna in Rome and go over to another town and have lasagna, and it won't taste exactly the same because of the region. And that's what it's all about. Now, in India, they have, I don't know how many regions, but there are quite a few. Yeah. And everyone has their own little style of cooking and so on, and the tastes are a little bit different. So one of the things I've discovered, and correct me if you think I'm wrong, is that when you go to let's say you're going to try out three Indian restaurants in one day, one for breakfast, one for lunch, one for dinner, just hypothetically, and the food that you taste for breakfast doesn't taste at all like the food that you had for breakfast when you were visiting India, and you go for lunch and it tastes exactly like the food that you tasted while you were in India, so you think, boy, there's a good Indian restaurant. And then you go to the third one for dinner and it has a taste a little bit different than all of these. The difference is that the recipes and the style of cooking is from a different region in India. And if they were in that region, people would love the food, even though here we think it tastes different than comparing it to a competitive restaurant down the street. Am I right in assuming that?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think that's important to know. It doesn't mean that you have to like or dislike, but the fact is you may see there's a good reason that maybe it doesn't taste as good. It's not because they don't know how to cook. That's my point. It's the fact that they have a very good concept in what their regional cuisine is, and they're sharing it with you. And it may not be the same as the competitor down the street. Now, I have found, and maybe I'm wrong, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't mind, that the southern part of India has probably overall tastier cuisine than northern India. Am I correct?
It depends. If you like South Indian food, you're going to say is.
Okay.
But the mostly all the restaurants we see here, they're influenced or somewhere adapted the North Indian cuisine. Mostly all these curries, and they are from the northern India.
I see.
And then in the south, they give a touch of their ingredients or some vegetables, and that make it the same curry but with the South Indian touch, and it becomes South Indian dish.
And the concept about being spicy food and so on, when you go into the average restaurant in India, there's no Tabasco sitting on the table, is there?
No, and they don't even ask you how spicy you like. It just come as it is.
Yeah, they just do what they think is right, and hopefully you'll agree with them.
And of course, there are some spicy dishes on the menu they'll mention if you ask them.
And it'll tell you that they're spicy.
Yeah, but there's no like 0 to 10 or 1 to 10. That's not, it comes as the chef.
Right. Well, that makes sense to me. Yeah. I don't know. I think I should mention something about the wine that we're going to have this evening, too, before
please.
We go to a break. The wine tonight comes from BV Vineyards. Now, BV is very well known. It's a very reasonably priced product, but very tasty. And those here are tasting our first wine for this evening. The food will be out to pair with it here in a little while. But the BV Chardonnay is what we're tasting as we speak. And I just wanted to mention that it is the 2013 label, and it is 13.5% alcohol content. And I talk a lot about alcohol percentage in wine because I think it's important to know. Before I buy a bottle of wine that I've never had before, I'm going to first of all look at the percentage of alcohol. And if it's pretty high, you know, like high 14s, 15, 15 and a half, even up to 16, I'm going to turn around and sit it down because it doesn't pair with food. High alcohol does not go well with food. So that's why when we say 13.5 like we have here with the Chardonnay, boy, I'm telling you, it's absolutely outstanding. And that means that it's going to go well with the items that the chef has put together. So that's good. Okay, this Chardonnay happens to be really crisp, or at least that's the way I like to think of it, as crisp. Do you not agree with that? Crisp, and also it's very juicy, if you will. That would be tropical flavors. It has a lot of green pear taste to it. And also a little pineapple, a little red apple. It has a very nice finish. And that's one of the things I like to do. When you get a glass of wine, whether it's at home or at a restaurant or at a friend's house or at a wine tasting, if you would swirl your wine in the glass. Welcome back to Wine du Jour. Boy, we're having a good time. We're eating very, very good Indian cuisine, and we're tasting this BV Chardonnay. This is what they call coastal California Chardonnay. And what that simply means is, even though it's 2013, what that means is the grapes could be grown anywhere in the state of California. So they call it coastal, which means it's going to be along the coast, and that would tell me from Santa Barbara south all the way up to Santa Cruz, in that whole area, and that's where the grapes were grown, the Chardonnay. So I think it tastes pretty good myself, and I love that it has a, it's not what we call a long lingering finish, but it does have a good finish to it. Strong. By strong, I mean it's not weak. Not that it's undesirable, it's just, it's there all the way when you swallow it. So that's a good thing. Another thing I want to mention about white wines, including Chardonnay, of course, and I haven't mentioned this tonight, and I guess I should. Chardonnay is the most popular white wine to consume in the entire world. More people drink Chardonnay than any other varietal. I'm not sure why, but that's the way it is, and it's okay with me. It's just that I don't think Chardonnay is the best white wine to pair with food generally, and it doesn't pair with a lot of foods. But it is popular to drink. You know, people sitting around the pool, around the fireplace, or on the patio, whatever the case may be, Chardonnay is a very nice white wine to have. The temperature now, we should talk about that, because it's very important that we have a temperature somewhat close to what they like to have. And let me just mention what that means. For white wines, technically speaking, we like to see wines around 50 to 55 degrees in temperature. For red wines, we like to see them around 60 to 65 degrees, 10 degrees warmer. There's a lot of difference. And let me just mention why. First of all, the white wine, that Chardonnay, or Sauvignon Blanc or Viognier, whatever the white wine might be, is you get better overall taste of the variety at the temperature around 50 to 55 degrees. On the other hand, if you keep it in the refrigerator, which a lot of people do, and I don't necessarily recommend that you keep it in the refrigerator, but maybe for a couple 3 hours is okay, but not a couple 3 weeks. A couple 3 weeks is way too long to keep any wine in the refrigerator. If it's a wine cooler, that's a whole different program. And the reason I'm saying, you think, wait a minute, cold is cold, hot is hot. But that's not true. The wine cooler will have a consistent temperature, number one, and there's no food or other items to change the flavor of what's in the bottle. So even though it's in a bottle and you have, let's say, as an example, you just bought a fish and you've got it on the plate and it's not covered and you put it in the refrigerator until you're ready to cook it, it might influence the taste of that wine sitting in the back. If you're with me? Another thing that I want to make sure you do not do, in addition to keeping the wine for a long period of time in the refrigerator, is not necessary, and I'm going to talk about the temperatures in a second, but first I want to mention you can buy these little, I think there's six bottles to a little container, little crosshatch item where you can put six bottles in it, and I've been to so many people's homes over the years where that sits up on top of the refrigerator with the six wine bottles in it, which is the, if you had to pick the worst spot in your house to put wine, it would be in one, on top of your refrigerator. And the reason is the heat from the motor that runs your refrigerated cooling system, all that heat comes up the wall and behind it and out the front, and it heats up your wine. And you're just ruining your wine by having it sit there. So it's not even room temperature. It is warmer than room temperature. And that's a shame, but that's an absolute fact. Okay, back to the temperature before we have to go to a break here. And that is 39 degrees is generally what your refrigerator temperature is, although it might say 5 or 6 or 7 in your refrigerator. That's some salesman came up with that concept. It has nothing to do with sanitation or health. But if you put a thermometer in your refrigerator, which I do recommend you buy, you can get them for $3 or $4 at almost any grocery store in the appliance section. Have it hang on the shelf in your refrigerator and keep the temperature to where it shows 39 degrees. That's as warm as you can have it and still have it cold, if that makes sense. So the government says, our federal government, and we know how smart they are, they say that 40 degrees is the warmest that it should be. Okay, I agree. but I'd like to be a little cushion, because when you open and close the door of your refrigerator 30 or 40 times while you're cooking a meal, that temperature is going to go up several degrees. It's just, you know, you can't help it. So if you start out at 39, you're going to stay in a safe zone, if you will, and it'll be nice and cool. On the other hand, I just told you that if you're going to keep Chardonnay in your refrigerator, that you need to go back to getting it warmed up a little bit from 39 degrees before you drink it. So take it out of the refrigerator a half hour before you're going to drink it. Pull the cork on it. Let it breathe just slightly. Not that it's going to do much with just the cork removed, but it'll warm up. So we got to go to a break. I'll talk a little bit more about that. We'll get back with our guest here at Curry Leaf. Be back in a moment. Welcome back to Wine du Jour. Boy, the food here is spectacular. And when Ritesh comes back, I'm going to have him explain what you just consumed. Really nice tasting. Did you like it? Am I wrong? Yeah. Very, very good. And I was mentioning when we had to go to a break that the temperature of your white wine should be around 50, 55 degrees. And when you take it out of the refrigerator, it's 39 degrees. So you need to allow it to come to room temperature. And that's going to take 30 to 45 minutes. When I say room temperature, I don't mean if your thermostat is set at 70, that it's going to turn out to be 70. I'm just talking about what we call room temperature. The room temperature is not necessarily the actual temperature, if you know what I'm saying. So room temperature for Chardonnay or any other white wine is, like I say, 50 to 55 degrees. Takes about 30 to 45 minutes. So I guess it's kind of like when you're getting ready to grill something. You have to remember to take the meat out of the refrigerator 45 minutes before you're going to put it on the grill, and that anybody that knows how to cook would never, ever go to the refrigerator, get their steak, and walk out and put it on the grill. That would be the biggest mistake you could possibly make, because something that you paid good money for, and we know steaks today are not inexpensive, you just ruined it by putting it from very, very cold to very, very hot, and it's never going to be nice and tender and tasty. It just grabs it and it ruins it, literally. So don't do that with any food. That's whether it's vegetables or whether it's poultry or pork or beef or whatever it might be, not ever from the refrigerator to the skillet, or from the refrigerator to the oven, from the refrigerator to the grill. It just doesn't work. Let it come to room temperature first. That's the most important thing to remember there. Now, let me talk a real quick minute about the taste of Chardonnay in terms of, if you drink it when it's like 39 degrees, you take it out of the refrigerator, pull the cork, pour it in a glass, and take a taste of it, it's not going to taste half as good as it is in about 30 minutes when it tends to warm up. And you taste the same Chardonnay, it's going to taste like a different wine. And the reason is, the colder that wine gets, the less you can taste in terms of the good and the bad impurities, if you will, of the wine. So it just doesn't work out well. So make sure that you allow it to come to room temperature. And the same thing, of course, stands true if you're talking about red wine. And speaking of red wine, before we go to our Pinot Noir, which is coming out now, I'm going to have Ritesh, if he would, tell us what the appetizers that you and the chef put together to pair with this beautiful Chardonnay.
The pastry, it's a samosa. Everyone's familiar, I guess, with the samosas. Pastry is filled with the spiced potato mixture. Uh-huh. And the other round thing is called aloo bunda. Aloo is potato. Aloo is in Hindi potato. And
so it's actually potato product.
Yeah, it's mashed potato, but the round one has aloo bunda has a different spiced. It has that mustard seeds you mentioned. Uh-huh. It has that and the curry leaf flavor also. Oh. And the batter is a chickpea batter, so it's gluten free. It gives nice, when you fry it, it gives nice nutty flavor, sweet flavor. So it pairs good with the pakora.
Now, are these items on your menu?
Samosas, yes.
Famosas, yes. So you know now when you come in, you want a little appetizer, you've just experienced the taste. I thought it was very, very good, and it really went well with the Chardonnay. Okay, now, let's go. Oh, and I got to answer a question somebody asked me when we went to the break. How much is the Chardonnay if I go to my local wine store? How much do I expect to pay for it? Hold your pocketbook, folks. $8. Now, if that's not a good deal, then you just shouldn't be drinking wine. You should be drinking water because it's cheaper, you know? But $8 for a bottle of this Chardonnay is a hell of a good price. Okay, let's go to wine number two, which is 2014 BV Coastal Estates California Pinot Noir. Now, coastal estates are the items that the winery owns the vineyard. So that's where they're able to put the estate on their label. And the 2014, of course, is the year that the grapes were harvested. Now, the I mentioned with the Chardonnay is the same as the Chardonnay. It's 13.5. That is beautiful. And the food will be out here shortly to taste with this particular Pinot Noir. Pinot Noir is a very unique grape, and I talk about this quite a bit, and people, each time I do, they say, oh, I didn't know that. So even though I'm repeating it for some of you, I'm telling a lot of people for the very first time that Pinot Noir is one of the most difficult grapes to grow. When I say that, I mean to end up with a product that is very tasty. It's fickle. I think that's probably the best way to put it. It's a very, very fickle grape. It doesn't like the weather too hot. It doesn't like the weather too cold. It doesn't like the weather too windy or with no wind. It doesn't like it too wet or too dry. And it goes on and on and on and on, all the things that you can imagine. That's what happens with Pinot Noir. So if it's not the way it likes, it's not going to turn out to be a good grape to put in the bottle. And so you will find that there are an awful lot of Pinot Noirs on the market, and very few of them are really that good. And the reason is the vines are planted in the wrong area. The terroir is wrong for Pinot Noir. If you have the right terroir and everything works out good, a decent winemaker can really make a beautiful bottle of wine, or an average winemaker can make a beautiful bottle of wine, but a master winemaker can't make a good bottle of wine out of one in the wrong terroir. That's just the way it works. So we got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about this BV. And so don't go anywhere. We'll be back right after these messages. Welcome back to Wines du Jour. Boy, I tell you, what a beautiful evening it is in Las Vegas, Nevada. It's about 72 degrees. There's hardly any wind, and the patio is full with our guests this evening, and the food is spectacular to going along with our BV wines that we're featuring. Our first wine was BV Chardonnay. They call it their Coastal Chardonnay. And our second wine, which we just poured a few moments ago, is the 2014 Coastal Estates California Pinot Noir. Now, one of the things I talk about Pinot Noir not only being an extremely difficult grape to grow and make a good bottle of wine, but other than that, one of the things that you can almost always detect first off, if somebody were to put a glass of red wine in front of you and say, taste it and tell me what it is, if it had that cherry flavor, chances are right off the bat it's going to be Pinot Noir, which is kind of amazing as far as I'm concerned. But this has, first of all, to answer the question that we had during the break, how much is this Pinot Noir because it tastes so damn good? Well, hold on to your purse again. $8 a bottle. That is incredible. So you can go to your local wine store almost anywhere, and it'll be right around that price. Now, it's not only cherry, but this particular Pinot Noir has a nice little smoky taste to it. And of course, not only the cherry, but the black fruit, a little bit of tobacco. And one of the nice things about this particular Pinot Noir is the finish. When you swallow this wine, it gives you a really good flavor taste, not too bad.
Don't pick up.
So that's good. Now, I'm going to have Ritesh tell us in a couple minutes what we have here to taste with that. But before we do that, I want to mention some of the other things that I like with Pinot Noir, other than what we're tasting as we speak. I love Pinot Noir with grilled meats. Almost any kind of grilled meat is good. And one of my favorite things with Pinot Noir is lamb. I happen to love lamb, first of all, and a Pinot goes so well with it, no matter whether you're putting it on your grill or in your oven or in a skillet, however you're going to cook it. And please don't look at me like I have two heads, but ostrich is outstanding with Pinot Noir. Now, those of you listening to us in Australia, ostrich is something you probably have once or twice a week as a common thing. But here in America, we look at ostrich as something that you see at the zoo. You don't think about having it at the meat market. But if you go to an upscale meat market, they can get ostrich for you. Do yourself a favor and buy some and try it. Any kind of game, actually, quail, duck, dove, pheasant, any of those, Pinot Noir goes really, really well with that kind of food. It's very, very much a food-oriented red wine, not to mention one of my favorite wines to drink by itself. So, Ritesh, tell us a little bit about what you've paired with this, because I know you worked pretty hard at putting this together today.
I mean, yeah, this one, we have, as you say, the grill one, we managed to do chicken tikka, which is yogurt and masala, spice, marinade, and we finished in a tandoor oven. That with the mint chutney. We have garlic naan, piece of garlic naan bread. We have that idli you mentioned earlier with the mustard and coconut and mild spice, crisped with some tomato chutney, house-made, yeah. And we have some cherry tomatoes marinated with the pesto and, pesto.
It was pesto. That's cool. How many people marinate tomatoes with pesto? One in the whole group. That's not bad. Okay. The point I'm getting at is that we don't think of pesto as a marinade. We don't think of pesto very often other than with pasta. In fact, we don't think of pesto too often except when we're at an Italian restaurant. We hardly ever make it at home. And then it's amazing, and it's a shame, but it's true. And, of course, basil, or basil if you're from Texas, is the item that generally is used to make pesto, but it's certainly not the only thing that you can make with pesto. I mean, sun-dried tomatoes are good, and garlic goes in almost any kind of pesto. You can add either mustard oil if you're doing Indian cuisine, or extra virgin olive oil if you're not, and all of these types of things to make a pesto. And believe it or not, if you take a nice grilled steak right off the grill and you have some pesto that's not cold but maybe room temperature and serve that with a steak, you'll be amazed at how well they go together. It's just something you've not seen. In a restaurant, they seem to think that if you're going to have a steak, you should have blue cheese or some type of a red sauce. And all I'm saying is think of a little better than that, and you get a better variety of food to taste, and that's perfectly good. This chicken is absolutely outstanding with this Pinot Noir. And again, here we have white meat with red wine, which, you know, back in the 70s, it would have been a sin if you even mentioned having chicken with a red wine. But by today's standards, we've learned that you can get a lot of red wines with a lot of white meat. It doesn't have to be chicken, but it could be. In fact, pheasant and duck, and well, duck is different. Pheasant and quail in particular are pretty white. Duck meat is pretty much what we would call pink. It's not white and it's not red, but it's in between. But it's a fowl as opposed to lamb or beef or pork. So anyway, all of those types of things go really well with it, and I think that's very, very good. $8, 13.5%, 2014. It has I think, a very clean finish. And one of the other things with this Pinot Noir that I talk about almost every week with different wines is the vanilla. And the vanilla only comes from one thing, and that is the oak barrels that it was aged in, because it just can't possibly, it's not part of a grape anywhere. Got to go to a break. We'll be back right after these messages. Welcome back to Wines du Jour. We're having a great time here, and I have to tell you, curry leaf. Curry leaf is something that you need to know. That's not just something that grows in the garden. Curry leaf is the name of this Indian restaurant in the southern part, or I should say the western part, of Las Vegas. And if you like Indian cuisine, or think you like it, you want to come over here and maybe be pleasantly surprised, because it's not just good, it's damn good. And a lot of Indian cuisines in a lot of restaurants are average, if you know what I'm saying. But curry leaf is what they call Flavors of India, and that's truly a great name for a restaurant. It's on Fort Apache and Tropicana, if you know where that is, if you live here in the Las Vegas area, to let you know. And it's what we call the Tropicana Beltway. It's not on the southeast side of the shopping mall. It's on the west side of the shopping mall. So don't be looking for it by the Applebee's. Look across the street, and there it is. There's plenty of parking. The people are friendly. The staff is well-trained. And I have to say, Ritesh has done a beautiful job putting this restaurant together since last June. But we want to announce tonight that he's opening a second restaurant here in the Las Vegas area, downtown. And I'm going to ask him if he'd tell us a little bit about it, where it's going to be. And I think it's going to open sometime in June or July, something like that.
Yes, you said right. Yeah, we're going a little bigger, and we're going downtown on the 7th and Fremont. So just across the container park, right in front of it. And the family owns the property, and we're building the standalone restaurant with a two-story, which has downstairs fine dining with the bar, and upstairs is more like a pub kind of. It's an open deck, a big bar. We have a small garden lounge back at the bar, so it's upstairs is like more drinks.
Wow! Now you're talking like you'll be ready for live music.
We will have, yeah, definitely. two or three nights a week. We're gonna
really,
yeah,
that's really
we're gonna
good.
Promote local bands, and you know, some
very
Indian,
good. We
Indian
like that.
DJs
that's a great concept.
Yeah.
That's good. Well, one of the beautiful things, and I haven't talked to Ritesh about this, but one of the things I love about this particular restaurant, and of course the food is great, so there's no question about that, but it's the selections that you have. He doesn't have three pages of menu, and somebody in the kitchen where you've got one person that does this dish and one person does this style, and he has it down where you have the chef in the kitchen, cooks everything for every order. For every guest in the restaurant. You're open for lunch and dinner seven days a week.
7 days a week.
What time do you open for lunch? How early?
We open every day 11:30 to 3 o'clock.
11:30 to 3, then they close for a couple hours to mop the floors and clean up the mess.
More importantly, break for the kitchen.
For the help,
you have
yeah.
to look after, yeah. You have to.
And then you can come for dinner anytime after 5?
Yeah, 5 to 9, and Friday, Saturday, 5 to 10. Yeah.
Wow. Wow, that's great. Well, the times are great, so you can't possibly miss a good meal by coming here for lunch, and I've done it. It's great. Or for dinner, and you know that's not bad. So I need to tell you, I want to thank you for listening to Wines du Jour wine program coming to you for this show at Curry Leaf Flavors of India in Las Vegas. We're America's number one syndicated food and wine radio show, and we broadcast each week at this very same time at this very same station that you're listening to us at. And or you can always go to leskincaid.com and choose any list of shows to listen to 24/7. If you've enjoyed this program, I wanted you to tell everybody you know and tune in each week. If you just want to know more about my favorite subjects, you can log on to, I have two websites, leskincaid.com or winesdujour.com on Facebook or on Twitter. Gotta go. Thanks for listening. See you next week. I'm Les Kincaid. Good night, everybody.